Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 13th April 2025, Sunday class. So we will be continuing our sharing from this book, Heart Sutta, second edition by me. We are at page 121, question 2. Okay, as usual, we will have our puja. Then after that, we will have our class. Okay. Let us compose our mind, develop the saddha virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bansi Shijia Moni Fo. 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 Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Tisang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panati Pata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kami sumichachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya maja pamadatana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect triple gem. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalesu Atha Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunanto Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savadan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savadan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savadan Kalo Ayang Padanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pajyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttaraṃ puññaṃ khetaṃ lokasāti Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. We are at page 121, lesson 22, Heart Sutta, second edition. Okay, there is another question which is regarding the opening of chakra. So the question asked is, how do you perceive opening chakras via qigong practices? Then I answered, I said, when you use your thought, means our mano or thought process to open your chakra, you have to be careful because the thought created by the unenlightened being still has delusion. So it can bring about yin yang imbalance. So this one I have to explain a bit so that you all can understand. You see, basically, our thought is actually consciousness and its content. So consciousness is from the pure awareness nature and our life force. Yeah. So our life force is what drives the living being. So this one is very powerful in the sense that it is a karmic force. So from our karmic nature, that life force come, and we call it the karmic force that pumps our heart and trigger off all the conscious activity that we need to drive us to become a human being with its conscious ability to be conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile, feel and think. And because of this, our thought, which is basically consciousness together with its content, can have energy. And this energy is initially pure conscious energy from our life force, or we call it the pure awareness nature. From there, it manifests. Then through our mundane views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, our accumulated memory, we input the content. So this content, because before the being become enlightened, is still not pure energy. It still has its duality, the yin and the yang. So whatever that have the what we call the greed and the hatred, they are the duality that manifests. So the yin yang become like imbalance. One is craving, sensual desire. The other one is ill will or emotion, anger, hatred. So this yin yang creates what do we call the two type of energy, yin and yang. Then wherever we locate this mano or mundane thinking, thought process. Example, when we meditate, if we focus or if we note or send our thought there, then the energy which once developed built up. That's why in the early days, most of the meditation that they teach are thought-based. They need to have an object of meditation to focus or to note or to center their mind, so that this mundane thinking mind does not wander off, so that it can be at the place you want it to be. That's why they develop it until it becomes jhanic factor. They apply the thought through noting or through focusing or through concentration. They keep the mind there. Then as they do that, the energy starts to build up. But because you are not enlightened yet, so all of your energy is a mixture of yin and yang. Sometimes it's yin energy, feminine. Then sometimes it's the yang energy or the masculine, or what they call more violent type of emotion type of energy. Then of course there is another one which is born of delusion. Your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, all these things. But basically it's the yin yang and also the accumulated energy of fear or delusion. So what they do is they apply their thought energy to all these nerve centers. So the nerve centers, they got two types. One they call nadis. Nadis are the smaller nerve centers, whereas chakras are the major nerve centers. So these are nerve centers that can absorb the type of energy and develop what they call the manifestation of energy through those chakras. So we call it the Kundalini energy in the Christian in the Hindu tradition. They have a name for it, they call it Kundalini. So if you focus and concentrate and release the energy from all this nerve center, then it becomes Kundalini energy. And they use this energy to develop psychic ability and also other type of ability they call psychic power and also other type of what they call thought-based activation of all this psychic energy. So when they go and note the major chakras, they have from the anus up to the crown, Sasahara and all those things. Then the heart chakra also they have. So the more common one is they go to the third eye, the forehead there. They build up the energy there. Then the Sasahara there also, they build it up. Then they use their energy to move and let it develop into all the various jhanas. Then sometimes they release the Kundalini energy at the Tan Tian also. That one also very strong energy release. And the Qigong people, they like to store their whatever energy that they develop through mindfulness or whatever, or continuous training of their movement, which is a form of sati. But all this build up of energy, they need to store somewhere, or use it, or release it. That's why I say they got no outlet. So this is how they develop them. And these are the major chakras. So it seems they call it the seven chakra. And sometimes they also say the human being is a miniature of our universe. They believe our universe also have this seven type of constellation, which are very massive. And they also maintain the life form in the whole of the universe, the existence. That's why sometimes they say we are made in the image of God, the miniature. So all these are chakra related teachings, or what they call understanding that people make use of. But this is not what the Buddha teach. In fact, the Buddha, under his last two teachers, Alara and Udaka, they also taught him the jhanas. Until he completed the whole training, he was able to develop all the jhana, first, second, third, fourth, then the formula jhana, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, until he reached the pinnacle of it. Then they say he is of equal to the teacher. But then the Buddha realized all the jhana may have psychic ability and very powerful manifestation of meditative experience. But they don't solve his problem. He left the palace because he realized that he has a very clear problem with regards to old age, sickness and death. Yeah, he got no answer to them. At that time, he still deluded before he became fully enlightened. He still believed he exists. He has a physical body. And this physical body can go through the nature's process of getting old, getting sick, and finally die. So old age, sickness and death, he got no answer. Then later on, as he continued on his own, then he realized self-mortification is not the way. So he decided to eat. Then when he decided to eat, I think the five ascetics left him. Then on his own, he continued to cultivate. But because of his past parami, he encountered the appropriate causes and conditions for him to realize the enlightenment. He has to wait till Sujata make the offer of the milk rice. Yeah, that was the vow or aditan that Sujata make to offer the milk rice to a being before his full enlightenment. So that condition sets in, then the sign shows that all these are meant to be. That's how after that he developed the confidence, the faith, then he decided to sit and he made the famous vow. He said he will not arise until he is enlightened. Not even until all the things dry up. He will not arise from that seat unless he becomes enlightened. And that sitting was very unique. Because through that sitting, he connect back to his past life cultivation. And the realization arose in him. And when the realization arise, he came to know clearly that this form and mind, the physical body and mind, the human being, is not a permanent and unchanging entity, is not him. Then he realized just a karmically conditioned form and mind for him to come to this existential world, to live life, to do his duty, to experience all the karmic process, to do whatever function that is supposed to do. And because of that, his problem resolved. Because he realized if the form and mind is not me, and it goes the way of nature because it follows the Panchaniyama, at that one that grows old, gets sick, injured, and dies, is not him. That's why old age, sickness and death, no more a problem, no more an issue. That's how he break free. Yeah. Then the other thing is also, wherever you focus or concentrate the mind, it will lead to energy build up. Yeah. Then the energy build up, the thing is using it to open the chakra. But actually that one is tempering. Because from external you cannot open. And the energy you use is not pure. It's yin and yang. So it will lead to what we call deviation. Or the yin-yang imbalance. That's why a lot of these meditators, they realize sometimes they feel extreme heat or hot energy, then sometimes extreme cold. Then it seems there are two, I forgot the name already. They got, from the chakra, they got two of this. In the Hindu teaching, I think it's mentioned something like Pingala and don't know what, I forgot already. Yeah. These two are the one that, like hormone, induce the yin and yang energy. Mm. Okay, we go back to the question, then I read to you my answer, then you will understand. When you use your thought to open your chakra, I put in inverted comma the word open. This one is not like opening a box. This one is activate actually. Yeah. But through external thought process. Mm. You have to be careful because the thought created by the unenlightened being still have delusion. So it can bring about the yin and yang imbalance. It can also mean tempering. That's why this word is the correct word. If you activate it from outside using your thought, which is not the pure energy that melts through your gateway, then it's tempering. Then you force the thing to release its energy too early. So this thought energy, when you tamper with it, because wherever you focus and concentrate your mind using that thought, the thought energy will build up. And it can activate the thing, the chakra, and cause it to release the chakra energy. Yeah. Then they believe when you are able to release all the seven chakra, and you can develop the ability to balance it, then you have a lot of power, a lot of what they call psychic ability. That's why it's as if that cultivator has a lot of special ability, or psychic ability. They can perform like magic. Mm. So what happens is, if you do this, there is the danger of thought-based meditation leading to energy field. Then it can backfire. It can have its karmic repercussion. Then the mara can come and attack you or disturb you. Mm. As I mentioned here, it is advisable to develop only the relaxation and mindfulness training to exercise your body via qigong, means while doing the qigong practices. And try not to focus or store your thought energy at a tantian unless the intention is to develop that qi for health reason. Because all those qigong people, they develop all this qi energy and store it at a tantian is mainly to heal people, to for health reason, to help people. Then sometimes they use it for various means. Mm. But the advice is, do not use it to develop the psychic field or the energy field to actually become famous and all those things. We are all this before you are enlightened. You don't have the right view and the right understanding. Then, like the saying goes, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Well, the sword has two edges. Means, if you don't have the wisdom, based on selfish reason, you apply the energy, then the karmic process will take place. Then when the karmic process take place, it will backfire or it will hit back. Yeah. So when you apply all this psychic ability for certain selfish gain and wrong use, then the karmic will backfire. Like what the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So all this depending on the user. There is a safer and more genuine way to activate or open the chakra. We are developing the wisdom first. This one is safer. So you need to actually develop the initial wisdom first so that you don't have wrong view. Then when the mind can cease via wisdom, one can make use of it to develop the 10 perfection, to walk the Bodhisattva way, to realize Buddhahood. Then developing the loving kindness and compassion and wisdom, and then stay at the heart area and silence one's mind to detect the gateway to your nature. This gateway, they have the ability to melt all of your life force energy and mental yin yang energy or pure awareness nature's energy into your nature to become pure neutral energy, which is no longer of the yin and the yang type, means it's already pure, no duality. This is the pure energy that can really open up or activate the chakra from within, internally and naturally. So the internal movement, which is very natural, not via thought, not directed, is via trust. T-R-U-S-T. That's why the fourth support that I taught you all to do is to develop this. Trust your nature to move, to activate. That is without the interference of any thought to direct that movement. So if you can do that, then this yin-yang energy or whatever external life force energy, they will melt while it go through the gateway to our nature, and it become pure energy, very beautiful. Then this pure energy, which is already intelligent on its own, it will move on its own and activate whatever nadis and chakra that needs to be activated. That's why that type of opening, or what we call activation, is the correct one. It is born of pure energy via the development of trust to transform the external yin yang energy or whatever wisdom energy that you have developed, so that it can become pure energy, and it is very conducive for the activation of, you may use the word, opening of internal chakras naturally via the proper, what they call, way. Move up the notes anymore or no more. Okay, we finished that part. There is another part that I want you to understand. I still remember in the early days when I cultivate, at that time nobody actually was able to teach me all this, but there is some form of teaching that is already commonly accepted in the Theravada tradition's teaching. Then they always talk about mindfulness, stabilizing it. then developing the faith, sadha, then the puja. Yeah. But that time, nobody can explain to me. I also naturally do it based on whatever come. So through my own cultivation and practice, I realize every time I develop the faith, I pay respect to Triple Gem clippings. Then the Saddha Virya actually activate my heart area. Yeah, initially, I don't know where to return my awareness to, my inner awareness. I always return to the heart area. Then I realize every time I pay respect, I hold my palm. Yeah. Then without me knowing it, that what they call faith and virya send a type of energy into my heart area. Then my heart area, I remember, after a while, maybe 1 or 2 years, it starts to like activate and move. Then it become more sensitive. Then that time, I haven't located the gateway. I don't know what this thing is all about, but I know there's energy there. Then what happened was, when I was away from there, the energy build up become very strong until I had to slow down my daily mindfulness because I couldn't locate the gateway. I didn't know that there's a gateway there at that time. So what happened was this energy build up until I have to slow down my cultivation. I cannot push it too hard. That energy got no release. Then I was actually lucky because after that, after 1986, after I met Master Shedonghan, taken the refuge. Like I told you, the teacher come, the guide come, the book come, everything come. Then that time, my daily mindfulness, I already developed quite well. I met my teacher, my guide, especially Ajahn Yantra. Then I reversed my cultivation from anapanasati, even the absorption, everything, to daily mindfulness. Yeah. Until my daily mindfulness is very stable. But the energy build-up is still very strong. Then I was very lucky. Towards the end of 1988, I remember, I met my last guide. And he's the one that told me where the gateway is. Yeah, the moment he met me, he held my hand, he knew I have the sati energy, the mindfulness and all that. Then he just told me, he said, I just want you to know that I only do this 4 things, he said. Yeah. He said, forget about what you heard and all those things, the special energy, psychic, all those things. But he said his meditation is very simple. Relax, aware, then stabilize the awareness. But he used the word 24-hour. Relax, aware, 24-hour, then trust. Then I look at him. I say, I have done the first 3. Then the next question, before that he mentioned, he said, I know, I held your hand, is it? Then he said, what you need to do is locate the gateway, the trust. Yeah. But he didn't explain much beyond that. Yeah. He just say, use the word trust. Yeah. Then after that, he asked me, do you trust me? I said, yes, I trust. He said, okay. Yeah. Then you sit down. Yeah. Sit down. So what happened was, at that time, I already know what sati is, and I know how to maintain awareness, and I know how to stabilize my awareness to stay at the heart area. But I didn't know that I have to actually completely relax and release out the energy until it's a free mind. Yeah. But whatever it is, because it's like meant to be, I met him. So he told me to relax. Then I already know how to relax. That's why when I relax, then I remember his hand was about 2 inches away from my heart area. Yeah. Means it didn't touch my heart, about 2 inches above. Then I felt a type of very fine vibration, that pure vibration energy that detected a point towards the left of my heart area. Then because I know how to relax, then I realized the yin yang energy that I have developed and the awareness energy that I have developed at the heart area immediately, like very soothing, you know, they flow inside, you know, and melt inside, you know. Then I become very quiet, very still. Then the whole of the energy at the heart area completely gone, you know. Yeah. Then there is complete silence and stillness. Yeah. Then I realize that pure movement, that pure energy that is the result of the external energy that melt through is very fine and very beautiful energy. And that is the one that activates a lot of things inside me. You know. It moves by itself. You know. Then of course, end up the byproduct is like gaseous. You fart a lot and all that. Then you know where the energy go to. Activate which part of your body, everything. It's like very clear. Then I like completely without any thought, without any mundane thinking or whatever. Yeah. Then that movement just go on. Yeah. Then after about 2-3 hours, I become so still without thought for the whole duration. Then after that, when I finish and came out of it, he smiled, he looked at me, he said, "How is it?" Oh, I said, "Beautiful." Ah, he said, "Relax and enjoy." He said, "That is how you meditate." So from there onward, I came to know that the external tempering and other things leads to energy build-up and psychic ability, and that is a trap. That one can bring about problem. That is not the Buddhist way, not mindfulness way or awareness way, sati based meditation. So because of that, I started to understand all this. Then that transformation, actually after that, I don't really need my last guide because he don't teach me the Dhamma. He is different. He used this for mainly consciousness. He call it the consciousness way. But he is a very unique being also because they specialize in consciousness and they know what that gateway is, the pure energy, but they use it for something else. Whereas the correct way is to use this to develop the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom, so that you can perfect yourself and develop all the understanding. That's why he keep on reminding me, don't touch psychic, he said. So that's the part that I actually came to develop as understanding. Then, because of my past, I was able to continue with the training. And the manifestation and the movement, they come by themselves. Then after that, I remember I connect to my nature. Then that movement, that development actually transformed me. Yeah. Then after 9 months, I think about 9 months, from the date I met him, he activated. My Monday mind collapsed. Yeah. That's why my nature shine forth. Then I connect back to my spiritual nature. Then a lot of understanding flow from there. Then it keep on transforming me from within until the pure awareness nature become very, very different until it illuminate the whole of the nature within, and it continue to move even until today. That's why that movement is very different. Then the understanding keep on arising. Then after that, I start to understand the beauty of that pure awareness nature. How wonderful, how amazing, and how marvelous that nature is, and how it can help the form and mind who is connected to it develop all the understanding, perfection, and the wisdom. That's why after that, a lot of the Mahayana Sutta, all those things, it's like very easy to comprehend and very clear to me. That's how after that, not long, I developed the transformation and the understanding. But that was in 1989. Then for 15 years, I didn't do anything because hardly anybody can understand what happened. But somehow the causes and conditions unfold and manifest. In the year 2004, somehow Sister Yun Chan came to me. Then the causes and conditions arise. Then she requested me to come out to share the Dhamma. She pleaded 3 times. 3 times or so I said no. I said, never mind, just let things be. But after the 3rd time, suddenly I realized, my inner nature tell me, it's about time you come out, because the causes and conditions are ready. You should come out. Then my nature within already have this, what they call concern. Because what I have realized and developed as understanding is so different from what is commonly taught and learned by Buddhists, so-called Buddhists. So I scared it may create unnecessary karmic problem for others. Yeah. Then from within the nature is it, if you want to address that concern, it can be done. You just specify the condition for you to come out to share. That's why I gave Yun Chan the 3 conditions. And he said, no problem. Yeah. That's how after that I agreed to come out to share. And since then, it's already 20 years. I think now coming to 20 plus years. So all these are like meant to be. Okay, so I finish until this part. Maybe we can stop here. Then we continue the next session on the next lesson. So as usual, silence your mind, relax body and mind. Then maintain awareness, whatever arise, whatever movement or activity that arise within your 6 sense bases. or five aggregates of form and mind. Just develop the awareness of it. Aware, finish. Yeah. That's why I maintain awareness. Whatever arises is always at the sixth sense basis. It's either through your seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness. So whatever that arise or spring forth from there, just maintain awareness. And the key thing is to relax into every mind state that arise. Wherever there is energy build up, you just relax into it and let things be. Yeah. Then whatever that prompts you to be conscious, don't go and think and continue with the dialogue or proliferation of that thought process. Just maintain awareness. Aware, finish. Then silent. Aware, silent. Yeah. Then just let things be. Let the form and mind slow down on its own. You don't feel any more thought energy, then suddenly it will stop. Then you realize there is no thought activity, no movement, no sankhara at all. Then what you can do is you just maintain awareness and stay at the heart area. Then when you can do that, you will come to realize like a sudden shift in consciousness. Your consciousness initially, which is a lot of heedless thinking, or we call it the noisy mind, mundane thinking, they like slow down, slow down, slow down. Then suddenly there is like a shift in consciousness that transform your awareness to become very clear of the awareness nature. You realize there is only a nature inside there, which is aware. No word, nothing. Cannot talk, cannot verbalize, cannot even create any dialogue. So that realization is very important. That is the first glimpse of your silent mind, your true mind. Yeah. You will suddenly like realize that tranquil, still mind that is completely without thought. But the moment you are curious, that one is gone. Then the thought takes over. Yeah. That's why maintaining awareness, not trying to know, is not easy. Yeah. So the first part is just to stabilize this inner awareness. Yeah. You just relax completely, body and mind. Whatever arises, maintain awareness. Finish. Aware, finish. Then let the mind settle down. Then let this pure, tranquil, still mind arise. Then stay with it. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Then observe. Then you will understand what the Buddha meant by mano, the dependent originating mind, condition arising mind, the thought process, and the pure awareness nature. Means technically you will come to realize you have two mind. The other one, which is your true mind, the silent mind without thought, is very beautiful and very tranquil and still. And that is the one that can meditate, can develop the direct seeing, the awakening and the understanding. So stay with that. But from there, thinking arise. Thought process, they arise very fast. So see it, observe it. Then understand its movement and creation. Then you will come to know when you are conscious in a way, there is no thinking, nothing. But from that nature, thinking arises, manifests. That's why the two, mundane thinking, mundane consciousness, the mano and the pure awareness nature, they are two very, very close. Yeah. From one it leads to the others. So mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. And this statement becomes very clear to you. And you will know that all this movement comes from your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning. When you input the content, you create the thought process. That's why all of your thinking, emotion, perception, feeling, they are the activity of mind that manifests basing on your conditioning and belief system. That's why they are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, not what you think. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. See it, awaken to it. Then you can also insight into the characteristic of nature. From this direct seeing and pure observation, you will come to understand clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being, and how the five aggregate of form and mind come to be. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own, then I will set the alarm for 45 minutes. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Now is second session where there is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, or anything that you want to develop as understanding regarding how to apply what we have learned, this Dhamma or teaching as taught by the Buddha to help you understand life and solve your life problem. It's okay, we make it like informal. We can just discuss on whatever topic that we want to. The coming retreat also, I think, about 10 more days to go. Another 10 more days to go. Today 13 already. Yeah, tomorrow will be 14. So another 9 to 10 more days. The retreat program will be based on the email that I sent out. Then there is what they call retreat discussion, that day we had it on Thursday. I think Sui already sent it out.
Observation, like time, like pass very fast. With Brother Theo, I already attended like more than 10 years. The other day, Amy was asking about the Meishan trip, you know. She's planning to go with Sister Po Ching. She was asking me whether interested to go as well. When I think back, I said, I've been already, you know, in my mind was like, just a few years back. But if it's already more than 10 years. And I said, time really passed very, very fast.
In fact, first Wu Tai San trip was more than 10 years ago. Because Sister Yun Chan still has the video, I think, photo and video of that trip earlier on. Then our recent trip also is very amazingly wonderful and beautiful. Where a lot of things happen too. And most of the places there are still the same, haven't changed much, except maybe the shops that are there, it has improved a bit. But the area is still very popular. It's a great spiritual, I should say, place for cultivators of the way and Buddhists to visit. And I think now, because of the way the economy of China has developed, a lot of lay people who also have faith to go to that place, but maybe for other reasons. Most of them, like we heard from the Taoyu there, share with us, because of their faith, it's like a pilgrimage, you know, to be there to actually ask for assistance or blessings from the way place where they believe it has a lot of ability to help them. And most of them is for their children and next generation to maybe develop the blessings and success. But for cultivator of the way, the area, that spiritual way place is very good. Especially the, you see there are four great, they call it, actually five, Wu Tai San, means the five mountains. East, west, north, south, and the center one, Zhong Tai. Then they also have Bei Tai, I think. Bei Tai is very cold. Then there are two, I remember, Nan Tai and the other one, I forgot which one already. The temple there, there were monks there and all the conducive environment of the great beings, nature, especially Wen Su Fusa and Quan Sing Fusa, they are very, very potent and very strong. That's why when we were there, we were very blessed because the condition, everything fall into place, and the nature's manifestation and condition, they are very beautiful. So you go through the video. The last trip you went on, Manya?
Yeah, I did.
That was a very good one. Yeah. That was a very good one. The recent one. Then the first earlier one, were you there also?
No. Wu Tai San, my first one.
This one is your first one. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
and beautiful. I think the first one, I haven't even joined the class yet, right?
Yeah. That time you haven't joined, yes.
Yeah.
So your this trip is like meant to be. Well, actually, I don't want to go already on, but because of the popular demand and all those things, so a lot of things happen. Then I finally decide, okay, I told Pamasri, since the condition is there, we go. So we ask Mr. Er to help us to organize again. So this recent one is also very good. In fact, all the photos, the video, and the I should say all the unfolding of what we did when we were there was so beautiful. In fact, all the full spiritual trip, I forgot how many days it is. I think it's about 9 days, if I'm not wrong, 8 to 9 days. The program or everything, they just fall into place. So although we shifted some of the program because of weather and all those things, and the condition turned out to be very conducive and meant to be, and it has to be that way. That's why I say you have the parami before you go, when you go, and when you are there. Everything will have its causes and conditions to adjust the program accordingly so that it is something that is meant to be, will be. That's why I remember the first day when we were there, after that night, the next morning we're supposed to visit the way place, the Uthai Sun and all those things. But because the night before, that morning, the rain, suddenly there was rain. And because of that, I remember the Tao Yu from China told Mr. That they had to cancel the, what they call, this small bus that take us out there one. It's like buggy bus, like that one. So because of the rain, it's dangerous, and they decide to cancel the bus. So we got no choice, but we had to take the big bus to visit those at the lower area. So we shifted the program. Then it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. It was so beautiful that they, even though it was raining, but by the time we went up the bus, I think the rain starts to like reduce and end up like special, very light drizzle. And it's very conducive at that type of climate with a lot of mist and all those things. It's like Kuan Yin's, what they call, Tao Chang. Like Kuan Yin's way place is normally that type of weather. Then when we were at one or two of these temples where there is also this Kuan Yin image and all those things, the abbot also, I think, can feel something. That's to our surprise, he came out and attended to us and all those things and asked, where are we from? Then only he came to know. Then he invited us in and we had a very special visit to that place. And we really able to meet up with many of these people or monks that are meant for us to meet and all those things. That's why it's very beautiful. So you were mentioning Manyuan, Engbi, and who else
wanted to go? Pocheng.
I thought Pocheng and Engbi was with us that trip.
Meisan. They were not.
Not Uthai San. They want to go Meisan. Meisan, I only went once. So they approach you. Sorry. I was thinking they want you to go to Uthai San again. But Uthai San, we just went.
Yeah, correct.
This one is Meisan.
Yes.
So how did the thing end?
So that question actually, reminded me like time passed really fast.
Very fast, yes. Yes.
And sometimes we don't realize it until like, for instance, when Ingby asked me, then suddenly I thought, it's more than, not even 10 years, it's more than 10 years.
Yeah.
And I just think, wow. And then yesterday, there was another event where, my mother had a meetup with her teacher friends more than 30, 40 years.
Easily. Well, your parents are 80 plus already,
But for my mom, she never keep in touch with all the teachers. This one is actually the first time one in such a big scale, but actually not big scale, so relative. There was only around like less than 15 altogether.
Yeah, but to them it's considered many areas. At that age, the one that survived, not that many already.
Yes. Actually, my mom was the oldest, and there were a few more which would have attended but didn't attend because, you know, some I heard was in the home, like cannot recognize people, some cannot walk. You know, when you hear that, but
that
those who
age is quite
attended,
common, I think 80 plus. Even my classmates, we only 71. Most of the time now, we find it very difficult to even have two tables, you know, when we meet up. Most of the time, it's only one table, about 10 to 12 or maximum 14, 15. Then on certain very rare occasion, we manage to get about 18 or 19. But in the early days, when we have this, what they call anniversary, since our graduation from University Malaya, they talk about, now it's about coming to 79, 80, 9, 99, 09, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, 19, This next year is, or this year is already 46. Will be graduate in the year 1979. So our 40th anniversary, I remember, we had one, but not that many that really turned up. I have from my hometown one, Alostar one, and also the university one. But my hometown one, the last gathering was quite recent, which was, I think, quite a number can still make it. But a lot of the teacher, like, they are, I think, not as old as your parents yet. They are maybe older than us by about 5 to 6 years. Maybe coming to 80. A lot of them no more already, gone already. So left is the younger teacher who are slightly older than us only. And most of the elderly one, the 80 plus, I think one by one, already passing away. And some maybe younger also, no more with us. So these are the reality of what we call life, the first noble truth, reality of understanding what old age, sickness and death is all about. Then, like you say, time like passes by very fast. But as we develop the understanding of life, we go through old age, sickness and death with more understanding and clarity. Then as the Dhamma unfold and mature, we realize time, like, no more what it used to mean. The early phases as we were born, then after we were born, we go through what we call the younger days as kids. Then we go through the education process. Then the first 25 years. During my time, I graduated at age 24. Some graduated at age 23. But later generation, like my daughter, they all, I think they graduated at the age of 20. Or maybe some 21 if they have to go through the foundation. Then after that, they come out and work, the career phase. So as you go through the career phase, you experience new things, but you are still relatively young. Then not until you hit about 50, 50 plus, which I think you are experiencing it, then you may experience what we call the phase that you have to make decision as when to retire, then how to continue your retirement life. Then you have to, for your case, look after your parents where they are still around, then you experience what they experience, that phase of aging, decay, disease, sickness, and even injury become more and more vivid and clear to you as you look after them. Yeah. So all this, I think, will manifest as Dhamma for you to see, which is very good. Yeah. Okay, Maya, I let you continue.
Yes, Radio, like actually this few months, it just dawned on me, you know, human life, it actually ends at a low note, not a high note, you know.
Correct.
And yeah, because when we die, it is because of sickness and old age.
Because that is the decaying phase. Old age, sickness, and pending death. And that is the phase that most people find very difficult to endure or confront. That you are no longer healthy, no longer in your youth. So what you mentioned is very true. As you go through this phase, it's like your low end of your life, where you really have to witness all this and go through all this. It's no longer when we are young, when we are at the peak of our youth, prime of our youth, then we get to like experience a lot of things. Even our traveling was different. Our experience are different. But that is what life is all about. It's just like what we have come to understand in our Dhamma sharing. When we are young, normally we don't understand much of life. We don't have much life experience. Then we depend on our karma to take care of us, our parents, our whatever causes and conditions that manifested it. Then what happened is, at that time, we have a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of vigor. But most of the time, we don't have the wealth and the money. So a lot of things we might want to do, but we cannot do. Then later on, we came out to work. Of course, this academic phase also, we study very hard. And if you really can have the good academic phase, you also will come to understand, like for my case, I realized when I was a student, that was the happiest moment of my life in the sense that I find it very interesting as a student. Because that time, we got no fear, no worry, nothing. We just live and enjoy life. Of course, we did a lot of stupid things also, like cycling without fear of danger or those things, then motorbike also at that time. But it was fun, it was interesting because of the companion, because of the way we go through life. We get to join the university, especially the university life. That 4 years was wonderful, really wonderful. And it's great experience. But of course, later on, with the understanding of the teaching, the Dhamma, I become different. Then as all this unfold, I start to witness and see a lot of the happenings that unfold, and I able to link it to the law of karma. So that is also a very beautiful phase where the understanding unfold. Then I start to witness a lot of things during my career phase, like meant to be. Then I saw my life like very blessed. Then ever since birth until even now, at this age, the 7 51 years or 7 over decades of living has become so beautiful and so wonderful. Yeah? So all this, as we go through, as we experience them, we develop the understanding. Then for your case, I think it's very good. You mentioned about now, like life, all this experience is like very fast, it passes by. Then now we are at the end phase of our life. Then you use the word like low one.
A low note, not a high note.
At a low note. That one is a good description. Yeah. And now you continue. Yes, you explain what you experience and understand. Yeah.
So I understand when Brother Theo said, you know, I mean, it's not pessimistic.
Definitely, yeah, because we have the understanding. Yeah.
Yeah, because Brother Theo did say a few times that, you know, this body and mind of ours will decay.
It's of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. So the phase of getting old is decay.
And there's no point in wanting to hold on to it.
Correct.
To live, you know, longer and longer, because it will mean more suffering because of physical decay.
Yeah, and our understanding allows us to accept that reality. That's why we can still live the wonderful life, the good life, and be with the moment to really appreciate life and live life to the fullest. Because that is the reality. Then whatever arise or happen, maybe to our parents, or to our loved ones, or to ourselves, we know how to manage it. We know how to accept the reality of the moment and be at peace with it. And we do what we have to do. And that is what life is. And most of the time we realize if we take care of karma, we are like very blessed. We don't have much problem or issue. Like your case also, you have the good life, the good fortune. Even your parents also, they live so long, which is a great blessing. My parents also, they survive very long. My mother almost 90 years old, 89 plus, coming to 90. My father also, I think, not that old. My father, I think, he lived until about 80 years old. But he has his way, he has his life. And I can see the unfolding of all this and how they are related to me and how my nature has actually given them the causes and conditions to be my parents. Then all this, they just unfold. Then I look at my brother and sister, how they become my brother and sister. Then later on, their children, my children, then my friends, my classmates. Then I look at life in general, the Kayanamita that manifests, and people who came to my sharing class and all those things. That one enriched a lot of my understanding of the law of karma, and you can develop all this through the Dhamma understanding when you really have the parami to come as a form of mind to develop all this understanding. And the unfolding of all this is what life is all about, and within life there is cultivation. And within that cultivation, there is understanding. Then we develop our wisdom to prepare us for our future coming. So all this, they are related. That's why everything starts with understanding life. Then when we understanding, we have the understanding of life, we know how to live life. Then when we have the Dhamma, we become even better, much, much more different than what it used to be. So all this is the phase of life that living being has to go through. So for our case, I think we are very fortunate in the sense that we have the understanding behind, and we can go through it with a lot of understanding, joy, and what we call appreciation. We appreciate what that good karma has brought about for us to have all these causes and conditions, to go through life in such beautiful manner, conducive manner. That's why I used to tell my wife, and even sometimes Sui, they all, we are really very blessed. So far, so good. Until this age, can still have this type of health, condition, understanding, and the family unit. And everything is so beautiful, especially the Kayamitas, the setting up of the Kayamita grouping, the sharing, the website, everything. And during the such golden era within our this civilization, in fact, this year even more exciting, with the Donald Trump 2. So a lot of things is happening. So it will continue to unfold. And now it seems the advent of AI has made a great contribution to our future, I should say, years to come. Even the year 2030 is another 5 years to go. But during these 5 years, a lot of things will happen. In fact, a lot of people are making that prediction that the coming 5 or 10 years, the world is going to be very different, very different. That's why now you start to see a lot of things. Even the trade war, I haven't seen such a fierce one until the recent happening. But it will come to pass, no problem. So life will continue. But causes and conditions that contributed to all this, they will continue to evolve. And when we have the understanding and the Dhamma, we can witness them, and it continues to be exciting. But of course, what people fear is it will lead to a lot of chaotic turmoil. Like the earlier tariff before he pulled back and imposed the 90 days pause, it was actually very dangerous. And all this can lead to maybe a lot of fear, a lot of panic, and a lot of economic disruption to the world. Then the so-called supply chain and the way our world is evolved based on the rule of law, the WTO rulings, all this overnight become like disrupted by, of course, Donald Trump again, because he is very unconventional. He do things very differently. And a lot of people has a lot of views and comment about what he do. But he got a lot of supporters too. That's why this create the intricacy of what civilization is. And sometimes you witness all this, you yourself also actually will be affected if you don't have the Dhamma. But you have the Dhamma, you got nothing to worry. You like witnessing a very big, I should say, like a very major movement within civilization. And all this can happen. And it's like the possibility is so extreme. And anything can happen. But now look like things are toning down. Then hopefully everything can like fall back to normalcy. But because of ego, it's very difficult to predict how it will end. So now it seems the tariff only involves US and China. not so much of all the other nations. Then even between the US and China, it's like Donald Trump and Mr. Xi. See the president of China. So these two, I look at it, China is like very, very confident, and he just say, come what may, because they are not going to continue to tolerate the so-called bully and tyrant and all those things. They, based on the rule of law, they say, you treat us with respect, we treat you with respect, as equal. But Donald Trump's approach is very different. He create panic first, he create confusion first. Then after that, only he expect you to, the other nation, to respect him, kowtow to him, and talk to him. Then it's like he is the bully or the gangster that decide all these things. But somehow he got one equally strong and equally capable country, China. So not so easy for him to resolve. But it seems he toned down, he backed down. Then now I think with the feedback to him, he already like exam a lot of things. The iPhone, the Apple, Apple. Then all these so-called computers, chips and other things. In fact, now they realize a big chunk of the American consumer, they are from China. And it's so cheap. So if they tariff the country there, the people, they will be hit. As severely hit the consumer, all those things. Then the big Magnificent Seven or related listed company will be affected. Because they have somehow, even Tesla, also same Apple, built a lot of factory in China and their supply chain all over the world together with China. They make their product. Then this product gets sell all over the world. Even back to US a lot. And now with this type of tariff, trade war going on, it's going to affect, destabilize the whole world supply chain and all those things. So realizing that, I think he told now, he has removed all this so-called essential supply chain product that they need in the States. Back to zero tariff already. So hopefully by tomorrow some more positive news will surface. Then the trade war maybe will tone down. And you never know, because finally they will know how to end up discussing and resolving it. We are both also understand, if you have a trade war, nobody win. It will send the whole world into a turmoil, into a lot of what we call uncertainty. And the economy cannot tolerate uncertainty. In fact, all the countries' economy, trade or whatever, they cannot tolerate uncertainty. That's why, because of that, you see the violent movement of the stock market recently, very, very violent. And all this will continue to play out. What about your side, Manyan, your Bank Negara's outlook or view on the trade war and all things?
Actually, before Donald Trump introduced all those tariff increase, we were expecting it. And the governor was saying Malaysia will be okay to face this increase. Oh. But right now, I'm not sure what his view is.
Yeah. But he's trying to give confidence, which is very good. I think his announcement was very good. So he said, we will not be so severely affected. So nothing to worry so much. Which is really good. As a governor, he should do that.
Correct. Actually, these past 2 weeks, a lot of things in the world has been alarming. Tariff increase, the gas pipe bust.
The recent flood.
So if we really do not have the Dharma, then it will really make us afraid, panic. I also thought, whether it will affect my savings.
Yeah.
Go up, and then but like Brother Dio say that, this will also come to a pass.
Yeah, come to pass, yes.
Yeah.
Because all these are meant to be causes and conditions like that, things be like that. So if we understand, then we are at peace. Then we can see through it, not a problem at all. Yeah. Then take care of karma. Karma take care of your life. So everything will fall into place. Yeah. That's why I said taking care of karma is very important. Otherwise, you can end up in a lot of what we call unfavorable conditions and places. You look at the world now, although we are still having our good life and all those things, but many places in the world is having war, conflict. Then you look at the amount of suffering. You look at Middle East, then Ukraine, even Europe there, Ukraine, Russia, then Africa, Sudan and all those things, then even the Middle East, and South America, the Caribbean state. Recently, Dominican Republic, the roof truss collapsed, 200 old people died. You heard of that, huh?
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't think so. The news came out. I think it happened yesterday. The roof is at the Caribbean Sea, the Dominican Republic. It seems a lot of Americans are involved. It's very near to America. And the roof just collapsed. And that roof is so big, so massive. It killed 200 old people already. And a lot still cannot be identified and traced and all those things. So, you come to experience and understand also, actually a lot of things are happening in the world. And now, coupled with the trade war, everything, I think a lot of countries are now panic, in a state of panic. They don't know what will happen. The business all for a sudden, a lot of people dare not make the move to whether import or what. It seems the orders, a lot are not coming, or those orders that they have made, they already sent out the email or request not to deliver and all those things until they have clearer picture of what the trade war will do to all this import and export. But the import and export, if you look at the way the tariff is being put in place, any country that tariff their imported goods, when you go and collect it, you have to pay the tariff that moment one, no, before you take the goods out. So if the tariff is like what they are trying to push for, 145% or to China, 120% plus the 20% for don't know what drugs or don't know what, it comes to 140 something. Then even US now, China also imposed on their goods 125%. So just imagine if your container load is, let's say 1 million, 1 million, you have to pay 125% as tariff. Where got importers so much money? All these are unforeseeable. And it's just within the executive order, the thing signed and become law. And the effective date is not 1 month later or what, no. It's immediately effective, no, within 2 or 3 days. So all this is happening. That's why it's causing a lot of panic, fear, confusion. Causing a lot of instability. The word is instability. So a lot of uncertainty. What the business world fear is uncertainty. And the disruption to supply chain, trade, and many other things can actually cause a lot of economy to be badly affected. That's why the first reaction is the wave of selling. And you read the papers, it's reported when the Dow at that time crashed, I think for 3 days, I think, the market cap, they lost almost 10 over trillion, so the market value of the share. Then after that, he pulled back the what they call tariff from all the countries except China. Then it started to rally back again. I think the Dow that day went up 2,900 over points, which is about near to 8% I think. So all this is like very violent. Very violent and very crazy. That's why when you have a crazy president, crazy thing follow. Yeah, back to you, Manya.
Yeah, like you're not easy to accept unless you have the Dharma, then
yeah.
Stay calm and just watch it.
It unfolding.
And I also remember Pradio said, you know, you said that if you were to pass away, then there's no fear. There will not be nothing. Any regrets.
At all, because it's just form and mind. The consciousness is separate. And it's surprisingly, if you want to know the truth, it's very easy to die or no. You don't have to suffer, no. Because if you are mindful and aware, the craving force will dissipate, one. But you don't go and cling to the form, the elements, the so-called physical body. That one is not you. But most people fail to understand, no. The pain, the what they call very intense pain and suffering that come with the fear, worry, anxiety, and what they call tactile consciousness that manifests. Actually, all this is created by your thought, by your mano, mundane mind. If you understand, you can have the awareness within to witness it, then you realize the form of mind is not you. And this form of mind, they will go through that phase of transformation, or I call it a stage where you are going through the so-called death experience. In fact, nothing at all. Your awareness will know. If you stay with your awareness, then the craving force everything become very clear to you. Then there is no thought to fear all those things. Then there is no word to say, pain, all those. Actually, that one is born of your attachment, your clinging, your grasping, your failure to understand. That's why I say the separation of the consciousness from the physical, that process, if you have the mindfulness and the awareness, you can, like my teacher used the phrase, you can laugh at the dead. Actually, the death process is nothing. It's just the separation of the consciousness from the form. And how it happened is the craving force that bind your consciousness to your form, that one starts to dissipate. The word dissipate is correct one. It starts to loses its that craving force, that pain. That one loses its power or effect. Then after that you become very different. Where that nature is the basis of the awareness behind. And all this, the craving force or whatever, is of the mundane mind's activity, the sensation, the feeling or whatever, the aggregate. They are not what you think. When you have the understanding, you can detach. It is like that thing and this mundane activity, the aggregate, they are totally different. Then when the form is devoid of consciousness, it got no sensation, nothing. No feeling, nothing. There is no more mundane mind to manifest it. That's why sometimes people use that as at the moment of death is perfect freedom. Freedom from the physical suffering that the form and mind used to experience and endure. And that phase where you go through is like very fast it happened. But without awareness, you cannot understand all this. Then you will cling, you will grab. Then the karmic consciousness take over. And your form and mind develop a different movement. That's why with awareness, the karmic consciousness cannot actually arise because there is no avijja. Then it can see things as they are. And the separation, everything, the dissipation of the craving force, all this, it will happen, it will manifest, then it will just cease. Or I should say end, not cease, but this is not Nibbana. It will just end, the separation. Then the random of consciousness come out. Then there is a different phase, different movement. Then the last thought moment, where for those who die with avijja, ignorant, there is so-called all the content of consciousness that is related to it. Means when the death consciousness arises, there is avijja or ignorant. Then that rebirth consciousness will be conditioned straight away. Then you can say the rebirth consciousness has taken place, then it maybe will go to a new form of mind based on the law of karma. So all this, if you have the awareness, you can witness them. You can witness the arising and the passing away every moment of the consciousness thought, until the whole craving force gone. Then the last thought moment also gone. Then after that, a new beginning. You have the awareness to maintain that thing, then you can see how the random of consciousness arise, then how that random of consciousness manifests outside of the body. That's why they used to tell you a lot of things after people die. Their consciousness is still around. That one is not them really, but it's the remain, the random, the remain that actually cannot stay in the physical body anymore. And that one come out. So that one also has is what they call some Tibetan teaching, they call that the Bardo state. B-A-R-D-O, Bardo state. But it's actually the random of consciousness. But without the physical body, the physical form, they cannot do anything. But there is still what they call energy inside there. So the karmic process, they can still have its function and movement. But most of the time, that one is no longer what that form and mind is all about. We have the rebirth consciousness already over. Then whether you are born into what rhyme or what rhyme, it depends on your last thought moment, the karmic process. So all this is a separate movement. So nothing to worry. In fact, when you understand, nothing die, no one die. So that is the reality. The form and mind is not a permanent, unchanging entity. It goes the way of nature. When causes and conditions no more, it's separate. So the separation of the form and mind is what you call death. Die, that organize, that organism, that being, die. But actually, that being is not a permanent, unchanging entity where living being can cling on to, grasp on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I. It's just like my voice. When causes and conditions gone, disappear, how come you didn't say my voice die? Yeah, you know that one is not a human being, anasana. But the form and mind that manifests actually is not much different from that voice that I manifest. But it's also supported by causes and conditions. Nothing complicated and special. So all this, when you have the sati, the mindfulness, the stability, awareness, you will know how to die. And death is very easy, actually, very easy, comparatively, relatively. But if you have not gone through, it's not easy to understand. That's why when I was young, my form and mind actually went through the death process. I wish I have shared with you all before. And I witnessed the whole thing, how the craving force dissipate, and how the consciousness come out, and how finally I was up there. Then I saw my own physical body down there. Then I saw my brother walk inside. His voice, everything I can hear, what he do and all that. Then I call him. He cannot hear me. Then I realize something not right. Then I look down again. Then I saw my own physical body down there. Then the first instant is I want to go back into my physical body. I realize I cannot go in. In fact, I died. My consciousness separate actually. The so-called, there is a silver cord that link. If it's an astral body, it can come back. But that one also gone. That's why when I went in, I cannot take control of the body. It's not me, not mine anymore. Then somehow, not time to die yet. I know what to do. I just give it a push, I remember. Pop, then it went in. Then I gained control of the physical body again. Then I was thinking, I said, oh, what is all this? So I want to make sure it's not a hallucination or a dream. So I went out straight away to call my brother and ask him, just now did you went in and say all this? Then he looked at me. He said, you are sleeping like a log. How can you know? I said, yeah, I said, it's okay. I just want to make sure that this is real. I said, this is not me dreaming or hallucinating. But it's very vivid, you know, it's not a dream. And that whole phase of the thing that happened was so vivid, so clear. And I was so surprised, you know, that at that age, where I don't know the Dhamma, nothing, I already know how to die. Means I won't die like a person with ignorance. But at that age, he already know how to observe with the awareness, the craving force and all those things, and witness all these things. And inside there, nobody taught me. I didn't learn from anybody, but you just know how to go through that phase. But I was very tired, I remember, until my energy all like drained. That's why the draining of the physical energy is the one that caused the craving force to be so low until it finally dissipates. Like no more craving force to hold on to that thing. Then it's like break away. That's why the consciousness come out. But I was like witnessing. That is the awareness nature behind. So all this, when you know how to develop the awareness-based meditation, you can witness all this, you can understand all this. You can go through all this. Okay, Manjot.
Radio, thank you for sharing the so, you know, thinking of all the chaos in the world, and also the last mile of human life, it actually made me think, actually, what really matters in life?
That one is a very good question,
Why do I need to be so rigid about things?
Your views and all those things,
Why I want to deal with people?
That's why we say as you grow older, as you age, you become different. I got one classmate, he become very toned down, very different. He no longer like last time. He become like very understanding, very fair. Even to the children all. He no longer like last time. Last time cannot. So this is the phase where you develop the understanding and you start to see actually no meaning. All the anger, the hatred, the unnecessary, unhappy feeling moment, actually you see very clearly that you no longer like before, like what you described just now. It's very good. Sadhu, you continue. Make use of the time.
Because my father have told me a few times, he said that it's better for him to go and not
suffer. And you are.
He said because he doesn't feel well all the time. It's better for him to go so that he does not need to go through this. And I hear it for the first few times, you know, I actually feel very sad why he wants to see
it. But they have their reason, because as they experience their aging, especially your father, almost 87 already, I think, at that age, they feel it or not, they really feel it or not. That's why they will have that type of thinking or the thought. They say it's better for them to go. It's just like Ananda trying to ask the Buddha not to go into Parinibbana. But the Buddha say, what are you trying to advise me? Is it this physical body, he know, is like a worn out block cut already. Anytime it's going to collapse already, you somehow want me to prolong this so-called form and mind journey. No meaning, actually. To them, they know. That's why when you take care of them, you learn, and you actually develop understanding. So now, I think you understand better, isn't it, Manjot?
Better and small acceptance towards.
You can accept and come to an understanding why they say that to you. Because to them, at that age, actually, they experience a lot of uncomfortable moments because of the physical body. They go the way of nature. They have to experience the process of decay, aging. Whereas you grow old, the process of decay and aging has a few effects. The physical body, like a very old car, not only wear and tear, you know, a lot of parts may be failing already, you know, but they just have to carry it with them, you know. So they are not like before, not able to like have a body that can give them that youthful condition as before. Like I said, as you age, your senses are failing you. Your eye, your hearing, your nose, smelling, even teeth, taste, or your movement, your physical, your tactile, your eyesight, everything, your hearing, they are failing you. Then your stability also, you are more prone to what they call accident. Then small thing can bring about a lot of complication to your health and your physical body. So all this together with the reality that manifests, we are not all old people have support. Some may not even have their children to be around with them or take care of them. So like your parents, they are still very blessed because they have you and your brother to help take care. And sometimes other people also help take care. Then yesterday, I think Su Yi and Ben also have to do that duty to help take care of Ben's auntie and uncle, or grandma. Grandma, because the auntie that's supposed to take care of the grandma went for a show. I think Bukit Jalil there's a show. Then they have to go there and like take care of them or babysit them and all those things. So it was a full day show. So not easy. Then they try to clothe them or whatnot. Then Sui told me, he said, the advice was you can actually like take off all their clothing or then put in the new one. But because they haven't done before, they don't know how to do. It's not easy. You know? So what they decide is they just clothe him with whatever that they have. Then after that, I think the other auntie came back or what. Then they saw, they said, ayo, he said, cannot, like that cannot. So they had to do it all over again. So it's not easy. But the grandma very old already. Coming to 90, older than your parent a bit. So these are the, yes.
So really have to, I mean, the auntie have to give lesson first.
Yeah. But they are not around. That's why not easy. Then they just say, "Okay, are you free?" They will call Ben. Are you free? They are going for the show. Ask to like temporary help out. So these are the things that Sui and Ben is going through. That's why it's not easy. These are realities of life. That's why the first noble truth reality, sooner or later, if you live long enough, you have to confront them. And for your case, even Sui and Bendel, they also witness all this and experience all this. And this is part and parcel of life existence. That if you have the Dhamma of God, is Dhamma too. That's why having the Dhamma, having the understanding, you can confront it. You can go through it or develop the understanding to endure all this. But if you don't have, it's not easy. Like, we have weakness a lot. A lot of their parents are not so fortunate. They cannot find people like you, your brother, and Sui, and Ben, all these things. Well, a lot of parents, they are maybe financially already not capable of their own financial ability to survive. Then some are homeless. Then some are really without loved ones and dependent to take care of them. And these are people who stay in Malaysia, who don't have war and all those things. But what about war zone? At places where there is this so-called nature's disaster. So all this, like the Myanmar earthquake, that trigger of the neighboring areas, earthquake and all those things, they are realities that living being has to confront. Then the area where there is conflict, wars, civil war, even nowadays the weather condition, even in the United States and many parts of the world, is quite bad, especially with the cyclone, the typhoon, and also flood and all those things. Then for our case, first time such a severe gas pipeline. In fact, gas pipeline, it happened to Japan before. I remember seeing the newspaper many years back. Very severe, that gas pipeline explosion. In fact, gas pipeline is also very major. So all these are good lessons. And for us to develop the better understanding of it through witnessing it in life is really something very useful. Okay, Maya, you can summarize another 3 minutes.
Yeah, Radio, the human life is fleeting. Even though when we are young, we don't think so, like, it's like forever.
Correct.
But as we,
yes.
As we grow old, it's like, oh, actually it's very short.
Yeah.
So short. Yeah. And we also need to know how to handle life if
correct. How to confront it.
There's no understanding, really, brother, like you always tell us.
Yeah.
It's really going to be a lot of suffering.
A lot of suffering. Yeah. A lot of people cannot manage, cannot come to terms with that reality. And they suffer, they really suffer. Then they come up with all the wrong thought, no? The anger, the hatred, all those things. Then after that, the selfish character will manifest. Then the selfish character will push around. Especially those who have many children. Then they will give all the so-called justification or reason. Hey, your elder brother also don't take care. Why you keep all you go and take care? Why they always come to you? So all these type of things, they will surface. But like we understand, there is this law of karma. You reap what you sow. So whatever you do, come back to you. So don't be selfish. If you have the means, you have the youth or the ability, you provide whatever help you can and do your best. Then confront it, not the issue at all. Very good, Vanya Sadhu.
Thank you, Matthew.
Yeah,
thank you for the time.
Yeah,
having me in your life.
My nature also rejoices with your good understanding. Sadhu. Okay, now we end. So we share merits, then we transform merit. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakantu lokasasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo devo asatkalena sasa sampati hetu cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, now you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Kanyin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.